Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to the officially unofficial podcast presented by Blue Wire Networks. I'm your host, Johnny Junta. We're joined with a very special guest. He used to be the face of UCLA baseball, former first-round draft selection, and now the fifth-ranked prospect for the Cincinnati Reds. Is that good? You tell me, Matt McClain. How are we doing, brother?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. Let's establish some things here. So, humble brag, I believe you followed us first. Is that correct?
I don't remember. Yeah, I did. We'll go with yeah.
Listen, I got the memory of an elephant. I can guarantee you, because listen, I got the notification that Matt McClain followed me, and I was like, oh, I can't be Matt McClain, like the Reds Matt McClain. I was like, oh shit, it is Matt McClain. So you did follow us first. So humble brag for listeners out there, Matt McClain followed the official podcast first. I just wanted to establish that. But how you doing, man? You just boots on the ground yesterday in Cali, right? You just landed?
Literally, yeah. So I came home from Chattanooga yesterday, got here, and I'm here for a week, and then I'm going out to the fall league. So
the fall league's a whole different beast, brother. You're with all the big dogs down there.
Yep.
So let's go into your college career before we go into your pro career. I gotta bring this up. So you're a UCLA guy. Was that the dream school for you, or was there other schools knocking on the door?
There was a couple, but I was sold on UCLA. Like I wanted to go to UCLA.
Why though? Like, listen, I'm not saying no disrespect to UCLA. I'm just saying, like, party school wise, if you want to get the full college experience, I'm sure ASU was knocking on the door. I'm sure Arizona, I'm sure Florida was knocking on the door. What made to you? Are you an academic guy? Is that what made UCLA so intriguing to Matt McClain?
Honestly, at the time when I committed to UCLA, I only had one other offer.
What?
It was Cal Poly SLO at the time. It was just them two that had like official offers out there. But once I had UCLA, it was like, that's where I want to go. And we grew up UCLA fans. My dad went there. So I grew up going to the games, football and baseball and basketball, actually, a little bit. But just honestly, like, that's just where I wanted to go. Like, as a kid, I was, like, a UCLA football player for Halloween a couple years. That was, like, my school from day one. We had visited a couple times, went to their camps, did well at their camps, and they offered me. And I was like, that's where I'm going.
So you're from Orange, California. Is that Orange County? Is that how that correct? So you're from Orange County. And listen, you know me, obviously, because you followed us first, humble brag. You know it's the Canadian show. I am so fascinated with California kids. I said this to Tyler Glass now a couple of weeks ago. When you were growing up, did you own a puka shell or a shark tooth necklace?
I don't think so. No, I don't think I did. I might have. No, I don't think I did.
Really? So what was your childhood like growing up? Like, were you a skate? Because listen, like I said, the Cali kids are very scary to me. So were you like at skate parks growing up or just throwing 94 when you were like 12? Like, what was your childhood like? Was it just strictly baseball?
It was sports, friends, and like video games. Like, honestly, like So I played in the Little League, Tustin Eastern, and then we had a travel team, the Diamond Devils, which was kind of like a lot of the best guys from that Little League just took it over to travel ball on the weekends. You know, you play your Little League and then play on the weekends or in the off season, play with that travel team. And it was a lot of the same guys. So it was like all my best friends, like from that Little League, from that travel team. And then we went to elementary school together. And then a lot of us played football together. So it was like a good crew. And like a lot of them are still like my best friends. And I'm still close with a lot of the guys. So we'd go to the beach together. I didn't skate. I didn't know how. I tried. I wasn't very good. I had a skateboard, but that's about it. But other than that, I would go to the beach a lot. I did like to go to the beach, yeah, not surfing, but body surfing.
That's intimidating. That is unbelievable. Like, just kids at the beach is very intimidating to me. Just like a pack of like 12-year-olds by themselves, no parental supervision, just ripping the beach.
I live too far to like walk to the beach. I'm like 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive at least from the beach.
Okay.
So yeah, so I it wasn't like I was like getting dropped off. Like, no, it was like when I was there, when I was young, my mom was there with us.
So another thing that I want to talk about your childhood, and this is a true circle podcast. Were you fucking nasty when you were a child? Like, were you that like best dude on the team? Cause listen, man, first rounder, top 5 prospect in the Red system. You got drafted first round twice, which is what we're going to go into next. But were you a dog growing up? Like, did everyone in the school know, like, that's Matt McClain, the big dog on campus in baseball?
I mean, I was good, but I don't think people were like, that dude's fucking nasty. Like,
no, I think like, so.
Like, it was it, no, not to the level that you're saying it. I was good, but like, I wasn't like, holy crap, like, you know.
So when were you committed to UCLA?
My sophomore.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cut the shit. You were good. You were nasty. It's a sophomore kid committed to fucking UCLA, and I'm supposed to believe that you weren't fucking nasty? Get out of here, dude. What are you talking about? There's the kids – the kid. So you're a sophomore, and I guarantee you when you were on that varsity team when you were a sophomore, those varsity kids fucking hated you. They're like, this kid is 15. He's committed to UCLA. Like, what was that like playing varsity as a UCLA commit?
I mean, I'm boys with a lot of them. I know a lot of the guys, like – that I played against didn't fucking like me, but like, but like a lot of like the seniors and juniors, I'm friends with a lot of those guys still.
I respect that. Was Caprillion there when you were there?
No, he was. His last year was 2012. My first year was 2015.
Okay, so I'm trying to deep dive into your high school stats because I'm honestly dying to know.
I don't even know. We kept them on Game Changer. I don't even know if they're on Max Preps.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's only on – I'm only seeing your college stats, by the way, which are absolutely fucked. Actually, no, yeah. I do have them on Max Preps. Here we go. Senior season, you hit 369, 3 nukes. I mean, these are just – because for the people who don't understand this, like, California high school baseball is absolutely mental. Like, who are some of the guys you were facing that are, like, in the show now or – big-time prospects?
My freshman year, I remember Patrick Sandoval with the Angels. We faced him. He went to Mission Viejo. Fuck, there's someone else. I don't know. That might be the only show guy that I faced, maybe. But there is a couple minor league guys and a lot of D1 guys that went D1, and then now they're playing. I don't really know where they are.
Yeah, but they're bagging groceries at Target now. But I do respect like the fact that all the kids in and this is the perception I have of California high school baseball. Maybe you could talk me out of it. If you throw 90 when you play high school baseball in California, you're not like you're like a dime a dozen. There's like 10 of you in like
not 10. But, like, if you threw 90, it was like, kid, this guy's throwing fucking hard. But, like, we haven't not seen it.
Okay. I can respect that. Were you a perfect game All-American?
No.
What?
I wasn't any of that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Fuck you, perfect game. That is crazy. I have a gripe with perfect game anyways. They're a fraud organization. But, well, that's another day to discuss. But, so you were nothing. You weren't All-American. You didn't go to any of, like, the showcase games. What is it called? What's that?
The under
the Under Armour. You did none of that.
So I tried out for it, didn't make it. The perfect game thing, went to the PG National, didn't make it. Went to the Tournament of Stars, didn't make it. That's the USA team. Those were honestly like kind of the big three. And like the perfect game, All-American game, whatever, the Under Armour All-American game, whatever. I really want to play for Team USA one day and win a gold medal, like really, really bad.
I can respect that.
Yeah, I could have the All-American games. Yeah, whatever. The Team USA thing. I really wanted
you
that.
You should
one.
Put that in your bio. Like, didn't perfect game All-American sixth team. Like you were like the. You didn't crack the roster. Just kind of throw a jab at perfect game because, listen, man, based off your projection here and the way you're buzzing around in the minor leagues, what a fucking meltdown by perfect game. Like, that is – you just hate to really see that. But, I mean, so did that kind of show you as a kid, like, or when you were growing up, like, that stuff kind of means shit all? Like, it's just kind of just a name to put on – it's just like a badge, I guess, you get when you're, like, a prospect?
Sure. It for sure did. And I mean, honestly, that's the same thing with these prospect. Like, it's similar to the prospect rankings now that the organizations have. At the end of the day, like, you're playing baseball that day. Like, you could be the number one prospect. The free agent guy can punch you out four or five times nowadays. Like, everyone is good at the level you're at. So, like, the prospect rankings, you know, that stuff, I just like, you know what? No matter how high or low I am,
well, you know where you're ranked, though, right? I mean, you have a little bit of an idea.
For sure. People are like, yeah, like, or some people are like, I don't even know where I'm ranked. You know where you're ranked, whether you like it. people are sending you this stuff on Instagram and Twitter, like, tagging you, and you see it. Like, I don't have enough, like, followers or anything to where, like, I don't see stuff. Like, I see most of the stuff that I get sent.
That is wild.
I don't have a huge Instagram following or anything. I don't post that much. Probably gonna post here in a little bit, but
well, except when you post this pod, you came on the pod, but that's a besides factor. I mean, but dude, like, it is wild, man. And like, honestly, I feel like you knowing your ranking and like you just being open about like knowing that stuff makes the most sense because, dude, it kind of gives you that affirmation like what you're doing is right. Like, you being a top 100 prospect in all of baseball, that gives you the affirmation like the work you put in at least is kind of paying off. And people are starting to realize that shit at least, right? Like, at least it gives you that type sense.
A little bit, but, like, at the same time, like, the whole outside noise thing, like, good or bad, like, I don't – like, that's the thing is, like, I – like, with respect to people, I don't care what you think about me. Like, whether you think I'm the best or you think I suck, I don't care.
I can respect that. I
try not to. Like, there's certain people I obviously care about, but I try and keep that circle tight. Because, like, the higher you go up, the more you're going to hear that stuff. So, like, who cares if some dude on Twitter tells you you suck, like, 100 times?
Well,
like,
if they do that, I'll deal with them now. Because you came on the podcast, you're my guy now, and I say this to all the guests, we will be body bagging people on Twitter if they do come at you. So just know that we got the eyes on the ears on the fucking streets and the eyes on the street. We're paying attention to this shit. But another thing that I want to talk about is, and this is maybe you could tell me to fuck off with this question. How much do the Arizona Diamondbacks hate you? I mean, you get drafted first round to them and you are just like, I'm going to go to UCLA and just dog walk college kids. And then I'm going to go first round higher. So you took a chance on yourself, which is ballsy because you already got drafted first round. And you got drafted higher in a higher slot. So how hard was that decision for you?
Not that hard. I mean, it was hard, like, but at the end of the day, I knew what I wanted. Like, even if I tell people this, like, when they ask me, like, even if I signed with the Diamondbacks, I would have been like, fuck, like, what was college like? You know what I mean? Like,
I respect that. Yeah.
But if I went to UCLA, like, I play well. I really didn't play well my first year at all. But like, you know, I play well, got better. Then, you know, you're going to hopefully get another chance, out of college. You're going to end up in the same place as a lot of those guys. They do in 3 years that sign out of high school. They're going to be in high A or double A. I went straight to high A out of college, met up with a lot of guys that got drafted in 2018 out of high school. But I don't know. The Diamondback, they got a lot of young guys in the show right now.
A ton of young guys. That whole roster is like guys under the age of like 25, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You could have been up now. That's all I'm saying. You could have been a show guy right now. Who knows?
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Especially in the minor league game, because now you got an education. You get to throw that UCLA thing in a resume once you graduate. Are you going to – can we announce this right here? Are you going to go back and graduate?
100%. I have to. I didn't put in 3 years of work to not graduate. I would be stupid not to. Like, the amount of work – like, college was hard, but it wasn't crazy hard. But it was enough time-consuming where I'm like, I'm not throwing that in the garbage. Like, I'm going to be proud of that. Like – it's a UCLA degree. That's part of the reason I went like to UCLA is like it's the number one public school out there.
Yeah, besides University of Michigan, obviously. I mean, that's University of Michigan.
They got us in 2019 in the Supers.
Yes. Drew Lugbauer, was he on that team? No, he wasn't. Sorry, he wasn't on that team.
I don't think.
Who was on that? Jordan Wogu, friend of the podcast, was on that team, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's a freak. Yeah, I mean, he's disgusting. But
they were good. They were hot, and they got us, and then they made it all the way to the finals and lost to Vanderbilt. You went there?
No, fuck no. I went to junior college in Nebraska, hit 167. That's what I did. But I going back to the UCLA thing, which is crazy to me, what did you study there? Because obviously that baseball schedule is absolutely insane. You're traveling around the country. What did you – were you an arts guy? Be honest. Were you like a little arts? Maybe some – what was it? Sociology maybe? Well, what did you study?
Close. Guess one more.
It's not – it's kinesiology.
No, political science. It's – it was one of the ones that, like, you know, fucking graduate.
Hey, it's something you throw on a resume and listen – you probably will never have to get a real job like us. Maybe like it's just something to look way cooler on a resume. It's like UCLA graduate. It's sick. Like,
yeah.
Are your parents the ones that are like influence you? Like you have to go back to school. Cause if I were you, dude, and I signed for what you signed for, and I was like already playing pro baseball, I'd be like, fuck a degree. No. I just find it crazy. You're going back. That's absurd.
I mean, like so last year in Dayton, I was taking online classes. So I finished, so UCLA's quarters, so there's 3 quarters in a year. The fourth summer quarter is optional. I'm not doing that. But so since there was COVID or whatever, they had online. So I took advantage of that. I was like, I'm taking classes. I took 3 classes in Dayton while I was playing in Dayton last year. So knocked out a whole quarter. So I basically have like 2 quarters left, which isn't bad at all. Wow. So I'm under a year left. But no, my parents, they don't. I mean, I'm sure they want me to graduate, but I'm not like making promises like, hey, I promise I'm going to graduate, but I'm going to graduate because I want to.
Well, you heard it here first, ESPN and Reds beat writers. Matt McClain will be going back to school to graduate. I think it's just all time. When you go back to UCLA, though, obviously being that first round guy, like not are you like the big dog when you go back and stuff like that, but are kids trying to like feed off of like learning shit from you and all that type of stuff? Like, do you go back there and train in the offseason and stuff?
No, I live about an hour away. I mean, I do go up there sometimes to hit, but I didn't really go back that much last year. But honestly, like the coaches there, Coach Ward, Gallego, Berg, Coach Savage, all of them, they got such a good like mind for the game. Like a lot of the kids, like, I mean, I didn't really go back there, but I'm only good for, you know, asking questions about minor league daily life. The coaches and stuff up there are so good that they got it all figured out for the baseball side of things.
And let's go into that freshman year for you. So obviously, like you said, you struggled that freshman year, which is, I mean, yeah. Dude, you're playing fucking against the best college kids in the world. And you are like, you're, what were you, like 18 at the time? And you're 19?
I think 19 at the time.
Yeah, you were 19 and you're facing that. Like, how hard was that for you to face like these pretty much like close to big league pitching as you could get at that age? Like, how hard was that for you to like adjust to that?
It was tough. And my stats will show that it was tough.
You put up Johnny Junta numbers. You put up my numbers your freshman year, which is respectable. It's all your, yeah. But hey, four nukes though. Four nukes.
Three of them came in one weekend. Yeah. Washington State, the wind was howling out that weekend and I took advantage of it, but no, it was good. But that year was tough, man. It was like, dude, this is like, I got to get a lot better. And honestly, that was kind of like what it was at times, like this year. Like, I struggled pretty good sometimes this year in AA. And I was like, dude, I got to get better. It was like kind of like that kick. Dude, you got to like, you know, if you're not humbled, you're going to get humbled. And that's like, that's one of the quotes like people always say is like, dude, if you're not humble, you're going to get humbled. And not to say that like I'm cocky or anything, but like there's always guys that are out there that are like good.
Yeah. It is crazy because you want to talk about a fucking bounce back. I mean, this guy, for the people listening, hits 203 his freshman year. And then the next season you go fucking full on Barry Bonds-esque shit. I mean, Mike Trout-esque shit. Sorry. You hit 397 with three nukes. Just absolutely on the fucking loose your second year. What went right for you that year? Like, did you figure some shit out at the plate that you just didn't have, like, when you entered UCLA? Or was it just like, I was just on a hot streak the entire season?
Well, that was the COVID year. So that was only like 15 games.
Yeah, 15 games, 73 at-bats or 64 at-bats. Decent sample size.
Yeah, smaller sample size. But honestly, like, going to the Cape that summer really fucking helped. Like, that league out there is really good, and that league is, you know, Pac-12 level, like, top-tier Pac-12 level. And going out there and just consistently, like, you know, I had some success out there. I was an all-star out there. And then coming back, I was like, you know, it was kind of like a mental thing. I just worked hard and trusted it, simplified some things at the plate, like you said, and honestly just kind of got that confidence back. Not to say that I didn't have confidence, but, you know, when you do good, you can gain confidence from that. And I did going out there to the Cape and then going out there sophomore year playing well and just kind of building on it and trying to stay hot.
I mean, those stats are just absurd. And I want to talk about that team you guys had your 2020 season, because you guys went 13-2, obviously only 15 games, small sample size. But you had you and a guy who's absolutely raking in the show right now, who I'm tasking you to get this guy on the show, Garrett Mitchell. What was it like just having you and him in the lineup just go full-on Bash Brothers that season? 397, 355 between you two. Was that like – was he like – who was the big dog on that team, by the way? Like, who was like the guy that was getting pitched around more, you or him?
I think him. Like, him for sure. He's a beast. He's good. And he's swinging in the show. He hit a walk off against the Yankees.
Yeah. I had money. I hand up, I bet on the Brewers. He won me money that game. So that's why I want him on the podcast, but he is electric. He is all time, dude. Was he that good? Cause I'm looking at stats here. Like, obviously pretty good stats out of college. Like, was he one of the guys you saw or played against where you're like, this dude is going to be in the fucking show and this dude is going to rake?
Well, see, I didn't know, like, people ask me that. Like, I didn't know what someone in the show looked like necessarily at the college level playing with them on the same field. Like, if that makes sense. Cause
that
I
makes sense.
No one I played with was in the show before. Except, like, I think, literally, the guy said, Sandoval, I faced him in freshman year in high school. And, but I didn't know, like, what a teammate or someone I played against was like. I know, okay, that guy's good. Like, Rutschman, I played him in 2019. Vaughn, Torkelson, like,
Bryson,
yeah.
Bryson Sott.
I could say, I don't think I played.
You didn't face Bryson?
No. But I was like, yeah, those guys are good. Like, they're probably going to be in the show. But, like, I didn't for sure know, like, dude, that guy's different. Like, he's going to make it to the show. And I feel like I wouldn't, like, say that to anyone because you never know what's going to happen. Like, you know, a guy signs for a lot of money, he stops working hard and he's not very good anymore, or he stops caring or stuff like that. Not to say that any of those guys or Garrett would do that, like, obviously, but he's I knew he was really good at the time, like, really good.
It is crazy. I mean, I guess looking at your perspective, like, you don't really, like, you don't see guys like that as, like, superiors to you, because you were obviously a fucking dog at that school. Maybe if I asked him if he thought you were, like, nasty, he would say something. He would say you were. But maybe, like, when you're sharing a field with guys like that and you're, like, playing with them day to day and working with them, it's kind of harder to see that they're, like, freaks of nature or God-given talents. But was there any games during your career playing with Garrett where you're just, like just a game where he had, like, three nukes? Because his college career stats are absurd. Like, he was a freak.
Dude, there was an inner squad. He was out like all fall for something, and then he came back in the winter, like first game, and like I remember he didn't do much, and he kind of just hopped in the game and he hit like a homer. Like he almost hit for the cycle in like an inner squad, like after not doing anything for like a couple and I was like, that's impressive. Yep.
That's insane, man. And going back into the UCLA thing, is Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer looked upon as legends there or what? Like, obviously, I'm assuming they never really come back to the school and stuff like that. But do you kind of hear stories about like when they were at UCLA and like the stuff they did there and stuff?
Yeah, they both do come back. I did this thing with Garrett. So like they take all the recruits, like the high school recruits going into college, they give them like a draft meeting. Like they invite them up to UCLA, the coaches, and they take them to a basketball game with their parents and stuff. And before they got this big dinner, and then basically give them facts on going out of the draft from compared from high school to college.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure Garrett was doing it for a while. He was going up there and like answering questions for all these people. And then for 2 years, they asked me to do it because I made that decision to go to UCLA. So I was like a good guy to ask questions to, I guess. And so I got to meet him there twice. And I got to like talk to him a little bit. I mean, we didn't even talk crazy much about baseball, but more about like just UCLA. And he's a really good guy. And then Bauer, we like my freshman year, he used to throw in the alumni games every year. He doesn't anymore. They didn't have an alumni game 2 years ago because of I don't know, but he used to throw. I faced him in 2019, and he used to pitch in the alumni games for a couple years. One of the teams that he went to didn't let him or something, but yeah, we got to face him.
Oh my god, that dude, he's nasty. But dude, you know what I love hearing stories about? Like, and I had a guy from UCLA on, Tyler Heineman on, and I didn't ask him that question, but Bauer and Garrett Cole like fucking hated each other at UCLA. Like there's so many stories about that shit. And it makes sense because there's like two alphas in the pitching staff that want the Friday night job, right? So That makes sense. But going back to like your career and stuff and you're talking about guys being elite and stuff like that, this is a genuine question that I actually want to answer out of you, like if you can even answer it. Like, when did you realize you were different at baseball? Like, when did you realize like you were like a first round talent type of guy that's kind of different than like his buddies and like different than the guys you play with growing up?
See, I never saw myself, like I never really like compared myself to like the guys around me because like I just didn't. And it's not because like I was better or worse or anything. I just kind of did my own thing and like tried to help like in high school, like I was like the leader of the team. So I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm better than him or like I'm worse than him. I was like trying to win so much. And I had both my brothers on the team at the time. But I don't know. I guess when I got drafted out of high school, I was like, okay, like cool. But like at the same time, like I'm not going to sign. Like I got to go back out and prove myself and get better if I really want to like do what I say I'm going to do.
I think it's insane, like to me, that you chose, like, especially because I'm looking at this draft class, like this draft class is crazy. Like that 2018 draft class, you have Casey Mize, yeah, Alec Baum, Jonathan India, friend of the podcast, by the way, Jared Kelenic, Brady Singer, like, dude, Logan Gilbert, dude, Grayson Rodriguez, another friend of the show, Kyler Murray. Like, this draft class was so stacked. Like, were you looking at that draft class, did you think, like, you were going to go first round? Like, was that, like, a legit, like that was what the agents were telling you and all that type of stuff?
No, I mean, I told them what I wanted, and they didn't meet what I wanted, so I was like, I'm going to college.
That's all time. See, that's one thing that I wish I was good enough to just tell a baseball, like a Major League Baseball team, like, fuck you. Like, just, nah, like, I don't want to go there. That's all time. It's just an all time thing. But so did you have a draft party or you just did nothing? Like, you just, because you knew you weren't going.
So it's funny. So my mom, like, I was mad, at, like, not mad, but like, I was like, doing? Like, she keeps inviting people over, like, on the day of the draft. I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to get drafted. I already told you. Like, and there was talk, obviously, and she heard it. She pays attention to all that stuff more than me. And I was like, Mom, like, I told the teams, like, I want X, $3 million. I wanted $3 million. And because I purposely was like, I don't think I'm going to get $3 million. If they pay me $3 million, okay, I'll sign for that because I want to go to college.
Yeah.
And I was like, I outpriced myself. I'm going to college. Like, I don't think that there's a team that's going to pick me for that on purpose. And then she keeps inviting people over. I'm like, what the fuck? Me and my two best friends are at my house. We're playing basketball. Dad's in his front office. It wasn't crazy big. I'd say there was like 15, 20 people there, like of best their parents, my grandparents, and brothers and their couple friends. But we were just playing basketball in the backyard, and like my dad was in the front office. My agent, he called him. He said, do you want to sign for this? I said, no, a couple picks earlier. They called back a couple picks later. He's yelling, Matthew. I'm like, my brother comes up. He's like, Dad wants you. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to pick you. We're going to make it work. And so me and my dad are like, oh, shit. Like, totally out of the blue. Like, it went from like, you know, okay, I might get picked, probably not, to, okay, they just made an offer. I turned it down to, okay, they're picking you, like, in a matter of, like, 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, looking at that draft class, man, it's crazy. Like, you can make the argument this is one of the best draft classes in recent memory. I mean, you got Casey Mize, like I said, Alec Bohm, Madrigal, India, Kelenic, Groshans, front of the pod, Rodriguez, Brady Singer, Nolan Gorman, Nico Horner, Tristan Cassatt, Shane McClanahan. Holy shit.
Yeah, that is a good draft class. And a lot of those guys are just getting into the, like, a lot of those guys made their debut this year.
Yeah. Like, especially the high school guys like Groshans. Like, Rodriguez hasn't even made his debut yet, right? So,
yeah.
It is wild. It is fucking crazy. But going into your brothers and stuff like that, are you the big dog out of the brothers now or what? Because, I mean, you're buzzing in the minors and stuff like that, and you're not the oldest, are you?
I am.
You're the oldest. So are you giving, like, tips to the younger bros, like hitting tips, fielding, like, minor league tips? Like, what are you seen as, like, a mentor to the younger McLean brothers?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm the big dog of them too, for sure. But I am the old. But my middle brother just got drafted by the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to Rancho Cucamonga, played, and now he's at Instructs. I'm going to go live with him during the fall league. And then my youngest brother transferred from UCLA to Arizona State.
Uh-oh. He's a partier. So your younger brother likes to get after it a little bit.
I don't know. He. yeah, I guess. But, yeah, so he transferred from UCLA to ASU. So we'll all be out there, and that'll be fun. And then they ask me stuff, but at the end of the day, like, they know what they got an idea what they're doing. But if they ever, like, need to ask me something, they do ask me.
I can respect that. And you being a massive prospect and stuff like that in the Red system, I always ask this to the big prospect. I asked this to Bryson, I think it was, too. What's it like, the fan reception of, like, when you are going around to these different minor league stadiums? Like, are you signing autographs for these fucking 50-year-old autograph seekers that ask you to sign 70 baseball cards? Or are you just like, I'm not signing that shit, I only sign for kids? Like, where do you stand with autograph seekers?
I sign pretty much everything.
Wow.
But, like, especially for the people in Chattanooga. So there was a couple guys that were out there that took pictures for the team, and they would post them on Twitter. Not for the team. I don't know how it works, but there was three or four guys that were out there that would, like, take videos, you know, make, like, baseball cards and, like, post them on Twitter, like, send them to my parents. They met my parents when they came out. Like, they email them to my mom or, like, put them in a portfolio and give them to me. And I would sign everything for them because, like, you know, they're doing stuff, like, they're helping me out, help my mom out. My mom loves it. My dad loves it. So they always ask for stuff, and I would sign for them pretty much every time. I sign for kids. I pretty much sign everything.
That's crazy. Because when you let those motherfucker, when you let those autograph seekers in, they take a fucking mile. You give them an inch, and they take a mile, those dudes. It's psycho.
There's a couple games where I'm like, where like I went like over five, just like I'm so pissed, and I have no problem saying no and walking past them. I just feel like, you know, as a kid, I was the one reaching over, like asking for autographs or asking for a ball. So I always kind of remember that. But at the same time, like if I don't want to, I'm not afraid to say no and just walk right past.
I can respect that's a power move. But I wanted to go into the draft day. When you actually signed. You signed for a big chunk of change. I love asking this. What was the dumbest thing you've bought? Or like, what was like the biggest purchase you made after draft day? Because you're like, what are you like? Obviously, you're a little bit older, but you look in that bank account and those, because I believe you get paid every 6 months. They do it in chunks. And that shit is like six figures, seven figures, just like, whoa. So what was like the dumbest thing you bought?
I haven't bought much, but I did just fly first class back from Chattanooga, and it's not worth it. I'll tell you, it's not worth
it. Wow. So first class is not worth it. Explain it to me, like a peasant sitting in the fucking back of the plane. Explain to me why first class isn't all that.
It's not all that. Well, it was like $600, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I've always wanted to try it. I've never done it. I don't like, I'm pretty cheap. Like, I don't buy a lot of stuff, but I'm like, you know what? I want to try it. I'm going to do it. So I did it, and it's not worth it. Like, I would say it's worth it to, you know, pay for $50 for an aisle seat in an exit row where you get extra legroom. That's worth it. But the $500, $600 first class flight, you did get a good meal. They gave you dinner. They gave you meatballs, fruit, bread, like some bread. It was good. I got to watch the Monday night game, headed back.
That's all time. That sells me on it. That sells me on it because the peasants in the back like me, we have no idea what's going on in that game.
Yeah. Well, no, you can pay for Wi-Fi.
Oh, so true. But you can't stream stuff though on the Wi-Fi. It's tough.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard to fuck. It's like you're pretty much living in the Flintstones. Like the Wi-Fi, when you're streaming, it's like in little pixels. It's impossible to like actually have good enough Wi-Fi. So you bought nothing, like not even a car, none of that shit.
I did just buy a car. So I built a GMC Denali Ultimate. I custom made it, but it hasn't even started building. So like I went through this dealership in California. And so all the ones on the floor throughout the whole entire country, like I called for like a month, like different places, and all the ones that are on the floor have already been sold, but they'll still list them on like, you know, cars.com.
What? Or something.
Yeah. Just in case it goes through. So they have backup people. So I was like calling places, like getting pissed off. And like, basically I figured out the only way I'm going to get this car is if I custom make it. And so I made it, and then I make it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, okay, you're X on the list. I'm like, what list? Like, I just custom made this car. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what list? And they're like, oh, yeah, like, we're only allowed a certain amount per month. You know, we'll call you when it starts getting built. So I ordered this truck probably a month ago, and it hasn't been put into build yet, but that's just part of the buying a new car nowadays is you're going to have to wait. But I got a Mazda 6 that I got when I went to college, and I'm fine with it. You know, I'm pretty easy off, but I did buy it. It's a nice truck.
I'm just surprised. Like I always say to the big time draft guy, the guys assigned for a ton of money, I would buy the sickest fucking cars of all time. That money would be gone in 2 years. There'd be a ESPN 30 for 30 on me just fucking blowing my signing bonus in a year and a half if I were you. So,
what would you get?
I would probably get I'm a big Tesla guy. I'd probably get the SUV Tesla. And okay. Then that would be like, cause in Canada, you can't be ripping around in a sports car all year round. So I would get that for like whatever, just driving all around all the time. And then I'd get like a nice Beamer. Like I was at the dealership when Bryson picked up his BMW. And it is the most insane. It's like 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. It's fucked. With his signing bonus, I think we in Williamsport, we got it. It was like there's only like 60 in the country with his color, and it is the sickest car I've ever seen in my life. That's what I'd probably get. It's like a BMW SUV. It's unreal. M6 4, well, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but it's unreal.
So I really wanted. So in high school, I drove a Chevy Tahoe 2004. My dad handed me it down, and I just hate being low. Like I'm short. I'm already short. And I'm
well,
like,
you're taller than me, so that's I don't know where that's. I'm 5'10". So
no, 5'9". I know it says 5'11", 5'10". I don't know who puts that there. When people ask me, I say 5'9", but I write 5'10" everywhere on questionnaires and everything. But I'm five. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm like 5'9 and like a half. I'm almost 5'10", but there's places out there that say 5'11", and I'm like, I did not put that. Like, someone put that. But 100%, I do put 5'10". I'm almost there. You wrap up.
So you saying you're 5'. So that's what I was about to ask you, because a lot, I'm reading, like I said, you're my guy now. So I read a ton of like the prospect stuff. It says you're 5'11", 180.
I didn't put that.
So are you not 180? Like where are you at with that?
No, I'm 180. I'm 180.
So you're 5'9", 180, just a brick shit house of a human being.
5'9" and a half. 180. I'm not.
I get like, listen, my college bio. Let me see how big it said I was, because I think I wrote 6 foot. I don't think they gave me that though. 5'11", 5'11", 200 pounds, brick shit house season. Yeah, Are we debunking that? You've never put down, because everywhere it says you're 5'11", like Baseball Reference, MLB.com, like UCLA web, every single place it says you are 5'11". So are you debunking that you actually said that?
So I don't know if I can debunk it, because I don't want to. I'm a man of my word. And if I put 5'11" somewhere, like maybe I might have put 5'11" on the draft questionnaire, and that's where they're taking it from. But like, people who around me, like, I'm not 5'11". Like, I could pass as 5'10" for sure, but I'm not 5'11".
So, is that something that, like, opposing fans attack of you? Like, they call you a short king or something like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No. Yeah, especially in, like, some of these minor league cities, they'll tell me to stand up, and I love it. I love the shit talking. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
That is all.
Because I like to talk a lot of shit, like to my friend. Like, I'm not gonna do it to fans, but like to my brothers, my teammates, and stuff. I like to mess around a lot. So like, when people like yell it at me, I think it is hilarious. Like, I might not look like it's hilarious or respond, but it's funny. I love the minor league hecklers, and they're so good on like Thirsty Thursdays and stuff. When you go into a
or when there's like a strikeout batter. Have you been a strikeout batter before?
Oh yeah.
Really? How do you approach that?
Swing early.
Really?
Those are some of my best games, but also some of my worst.
So like, but it's weird though. It's a weird dynamic, because like, let's say you ground out, you're getting booed and you already feel like shit for grounding out. But if you strike out, it's like, all right, I'm a dog. Like, I just got the crowd free beer.
Screw them. I don't want to give them free beer. I don't want to give them free ice cream. I don't want to give them a free burger at Burger King. But yeah, they do love it. I've gotten cheered when I was strikeout batter of the game, and they love it. And I'm just like, nope, I don't want to give you that.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's definitely a weird dynamic. But what's crazy about you is like, in going into this year now, 452 plate appearances, the most you've ever had in your career. How, like, you always hear about this in the media, like, it's so hard on the body, it's so hard on the body, but I'll never know. I never had that many at-bats maybe in my life. How hard was it on your body, like, getting that many fucking plate appearances, playing in 103 games, dude? Like, holy shit. In the heat of Tennessee, nonetheless.
That heat is terrible. But, like, my body feels pretty good. Like, I train pretty hard in the offseason with the guy I train with. And, like, that has stuff to do with it. But, like, at the same time, like, during the season, like, I sleep pretty well. Like, I don't, like, I'm not an idiot. I don't eat, like, complete crap. Like, I don't eat great, but I don't eat complete crap. But there's so much recovery stuff that and I'm still 23, like, I should be like feeling good after that many at-bats. But like, there's so much recovery stuff now, like, that's so like good, I guess. Like, there's like blood flow restriction stuff that I was introduced to this year that I use, and I'm like, holy shit, like, that's pretty crazy. Like, just a simple 10-minute ice bath, like, changes how you feel, like, crazy.
If you showed that to, like, Babe Ruth, he would just be yeah. the most confused human being of all time. Like, yeah. if you even if you show that to guys in the 90s, they'd be like, yeah. what the fuck? What is this pussy shit? What yeah. is this? I'm not doing this shit. That's exactly what they would say. It's crazy. 100%. Like, the new technology nowadays is absurd. Like,
absurd.
You guys know every single thing that goes on with your body. It's absurd. Yeah. It's insane.
It really is, because like I like in college, I didn't use any of that stuff. Like, I felt fine, and like I would just stretch at night and I would feel fine the next morning. And I mean, like, even this year, like, I felt good. Like, I would obviously be sore, but like, sore is like, you could deal with sore. Just drink an extra Red Bull or something, you'll feel fine.
Yeah, that's true. It's just So have you always been like this power hitter type, or was this just like, are you getting steroid checked every fucking 2 weeks in the minors? Because, dude, you like in your career, you hit like 3 home runs a year, 4, 5, 6, stuff like that. This year, you just explode for 17. So, like, what is that accustomed? Like, where do you dedicate that to? Because that is crazy, dude. Like, 17 home runs in 100 games is massive, massive numbers.
I don't know. Like, I kind of like, yeah, like my freshman year, I had 4. High school, I had like the most I had was like 5 or 6. But like, obviously the games, I don't know, just being able to play every day, honestly, and like get into that rhythm. And, you know, you see a pitcher a couple times, you see a bullpen a couple times, you play the same teams in your league. You're using major league balls.
Yeah.
Good. At UCLA, the ball doesn't fly because it's by the ocean. Tennessee, the ball flies.
Yeah, I heard that because another friend of the pod, Logan O'Hoppe, said that the balls are just fucking flying. Because he plays – where does he play for the Trash Pandas?
He plays for Rock City Trash Pandas. Yeah, they were in our league. So I think he got traded, and we played him once.
Yeah. That team, by the way, is disgusting. That team was insane. I think they won the league, right?
Yes, they did. They did. And then they're in the playoffs playing the Smokies, the team that we just played, because they're in our half of the league.
Oh, okay. So like Ryan Jensen and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Jenny, that's my guy, man. Cali kid too, also. He went to Fresno State. Throws like 99, he's like 5'4". No offense, yeah. Jensen. But yeah, that league is sick, but like, so 17 home runs and 27 stolen bases this year. Like, how do you describe your game then? Like, are you a power hitter guy or just like a finesse guy? Like, where are you at with this? Because 27 stolen bases is like a decent number. Like, it's a pretty good number. So are you a home run guy that's also fast on the base pass? Or like, how would you describe yourself?
So like, the way I played this year isn't necessarily how I want to like be seen as a player. Like, I want to hit for average and power and run. So I want to do it all because I can. I want to be like a contact hitter. I struck out a lot this year, which wasn't good. I also walked a lot though, but I did strike out way too much. But I want to be a contact hitter that hits the ball hard on a line, and I'm going to hit homers because I get under them, or, you know, the pitch is just middle and I put a good swing on it. But I want to like consistently just hit line drives. Oh, there's a homer. You know, you hanging breaker, caught it 3 inches out more in front, or got under it like that, homer.
So that's something you're going to be working on now, is like establishing more contact, or are you just going to keep it the same shit this offseason?
No, keep it the same stuff. But I think it's more of an approach thing in game than anything, than like a swing thing or something like that. Yeah. Like, I didn't swing or anything. It's just like, I don't know. I was putting good swings on balls, but I was also swinging, missing a lot. But there's some stuff I got to adjust, but it's minor. And I think more than anything, it's an approach thing. Like, swing earlier sometimes, ambush some guys.
Yeah, that's true. So it's a couple more things I want to get out of you, because you've been in the minors for 2 years now. What is your favorite minor league story so far from your career? Like, just a story where it's like, this is minor league baseball. And I'll give you a little background. We've had stories of fans climbing the foul pole, blackout drunk. We've had fans climb shit with machetes in their hands at a game. We've had everything. We've had guys threaten to wait for people. Like, we've had guys physically wait at the bus to fight players, like fans.
No way.
Yeah, we've had that too. We had a fan, like, a story of a fan waiting at the bus for play, like how to get escorted. We've had some fucking wild stories. I'm sure you don't have anything of that extent, but what is your favorite minor league story so far?
Okay, I'll tell this funny story. So, I mean, we lost, so like, it's not that funny, but it's funny. And I'm not going to name the team because I don't want this guy to lose his job. I mean, it's not that bad. Like, he was just talking. So we're playing this team, and it's the bottom of the ninth. So we play the top half of the ninth. I'm the last out of the inning. I strike out. We go out there to defense. It starts pissing rain. Like, one of the hardest I've ever seen it. So they go to pull the tarp, this team, and the grounds crew. They go to pull the tarp. They can't, like, pull it because there's so much rain. It gets halfway on the field. They can't pull it. So much rain. And so eventually their team comes out. Like, they want to play. This team is already in the playoffs. And, like, they're down, like, two runs. And I think two. And so their team starts coming out and pulling the tarp. And I'm like, no way. Like, this game's got to be over. Like, we're winning. Like, they're in the playoffs. There's no way they want to play. And this team packs the house. Like, their crowd, like, is into it. So their crowd's, like, loving it. So they start pulling the tarp or whatever. And they eventually get it on. Their whole team's out there. Their whole grounds crew. Half their workers are out there. They pull the tarp. We wait an hour. So they get the tarp on and they're like, we're playing this game. The whole grounds crew comes out, is like putting new turfus all over the field. And I'm just like, what the fuck? like, what is going on? Like, why are we playing this game? Like, we didn't win. Like, we ended up losing. But so I go out there to warm back up. Like, we got to go warm up. One of their field guys calls me over, like, out of nowhere. He says, hey, can I talk some shit to you real quick? And I'm like, yeah. So I walk over to him, like, and I'm like, what is this guy about to say to me? Like, what's up, bro? And he goes, hey, man, I just want to let you know, like, out of nowhere, like, I did nothing to this guy. I did nothing to this guy. And he goes, I just want to let you know, like, we're going to win this game. And I'm like, the field guy. Okay, like, what? Okay, and he's like, yeah, man. Like, I was in Birmingham a couple years ago, and when stuff like this happened, you know, the front office didn't want to play the game. The grounds crew didn't want to go fix the field, and you know, it affected the guys. They never wanted to play, but here it's different. And I'm just like trying not to laugh. Like, is this guy serious? And he's like, the front office, we want to play the game. The grounds crew, you know, you see us. We just went out there and fixed the field, and we just went out there, fixed the field for 30 minutes to get these guys to play, and they're fired up and they want to beat you guys. And I'm like, okay. Like, cool. And like, I was like, yeah, thanks for working on the field. Like, kind of sarcastic. And he goes, yeah, good luck. You're going to need it. And I go, oh, like, you think so? And he goes, yeah, good luck. You're going to need it. Says it again. I go, oh yeah. What's your name? He goes, so-and-so. And I go, okay, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you. Because in my head, I'm like, I'm going to talk shit to this guy if we win this game. I'm like, I'm going to find him, and I'm not going to, like, get in his face. So I'm going to be like, hey, you know, thanks or whatever.
They ended up winning.
So granted, we go out there, guy gets on base, walk off homer.
Wow. So he called his shot. Did he talk shit to you after that?
So this guy goes behind our dugout. He's in the team store, like, in their gear or whatever. He goes behind our dugout. Like, I was playing second. I was walking off the field. You know, they're walking off homer. This guy is, like, beating. It starts raining again. It's like out of a movie. This guy's beating his chest at me, like, hey, nine. And I got my head down. Like, I'm like, no way this guy saw him. I put my head down. And he goes, hey, nine. I don't look again. There's like four guys in our dugout. He's on top of it. I'm walking in right here. And these guys are all looking. And he's like, he says it one more time. And I look like, you know what? I got to wear this because I was going to talk shit if we won. And he's like, I told you we were going to win. And I'm just like, bro, like.
You had nothing to do with it.
I had to wear it. Like. He called his shot. Like, I got to give him credit. Like, we lost. He called his shot. Like, he talked his shit, and he had nothing to do with it, but his team backed it up. So that's kind of funny. That's just a funny story that happened 2 months ago, fairly recent.
Yeah, that's all time. It's just the grounds crew, they're so, because it's such a small town, usually they're so invested in the team, like that. Oh. And like, and the Billet family, like the I think they're called Billet families, that's what they're called here, but they're so invested in the team. That's what makes minor league baseball so awesome. But what was one city you visited in your minor league career where you're like, where the fuck am I? Like, why am I here? Like, one city where it's like, I've never even heard of this place before.
Lake County. I don't even know what state it's in. Like, I don't even care. Like, Lake County, it's the Guardians.
Yeah. Bo Naylor played there. Canadian kid.
Yeah. Wherever that is. Is it Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah. Lake County. I think it's in Ohio or Michigan.
Yeah, I think it's Michigan, but like,
it's in Ohio, East Lake, Ohio.
Okay, there you go. I didn't even know what state it was in, because I could care less. Like, it was like, holy shit, like, this sucks.
Yeah, I like, there's some, you skipped some fucking, I mean, you never went to Boise, you never went to Idaho, like, you skipped some pretty, like, you haven't had to go to some pretty shitty fucking areas. Like, That where you're at right now, like Tennessee area, is sick. Like,
yeah.
How far were you from the University of Tennessee?
Hour 15.
So you didn't go to University of Tennessee game? Because that's I think I saw Jensen at one of those last year. But that's sick, dude. Like, that's a sick area, no?
Yeah, no, it is, because the Smokies are up there, and we played them up there, but they're like 20 minutes north of it. But yeah, like, Chattanooga is awesome. Like, I loved it. But I mean, that was part of the reason I didn't sign out of high school. It's like, do I want to spend 2 to 3 years in the like lower levels of the minors, like in those cities, you know,
terrible cities, bro. Terrible.
Or do I want to develop at UCLA and like play for something and try and win and get better at the same time and like have an opportunity to do the same thing coming out of college?
Yeah. And I was, that's true.
No brainer to me.
That's true. And seeing the progress that you've had, like, you're already in double A, like your second year in and stuff like that. Like, is next year the show, like, is the show the goal for you next year? Or are you just trying to, or is that like a realistic thing for you? Cause I mean, 23, you're in double A, you had success in double A, triple A is going to come up next. Like, is that a realistic possibility for you to be in the show next year, you think?
I mean, I don't know. Like, that's not up to me. Like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to like work my ass off and like play as good as I can, and whatever happens, like, that's not up to me. That's up to the front office, and whatever they think I'm ready, I'm ready. But like, I want to be, yeah, for sure,
because I'll be there, because it's like a 7-hour drive. I hope you play in Cincinnati, because I'm not going anywhere the fuck else. Hour drive for me. I'll be there. I'll be at that debut. I've been in the mud in Cincinnati before. I drove there to see a couple friends of the podcast and the Diamondbacks. I drove 8 hours with no brakes on my car. I'll drive down there to watch your debut. No, the brakes were fucked. Like, I pulled up to the border, and the guy could hear me. He said from like 8 rows back, like, he'd hear me stopping because it was so loud, my brakes. But he's like, he they can't do anything about it. So I drove there with like no brakes, 16 hours worth of driving. You love to see it. Anything for friends of the pod, man. That's what we do. Yeah. But I got to ask you also, how nasty is that Ellie De La Cruz kid? His stats are fucked. He is insane.
He's good. He's really good.
Like, was he sharing the infield with you? I'm assuming he was at third, you were at short, or like flip-flop like that?
Yeah, so we would both play three at short. So he would either DH or play third on the other days, and I would play second or DH. I didn't really DH. I would play second the other days.
What makes his game so good, though? Like, what's his, like, separating factor?
He can do it all. Like, he hits for average, hits for power, runs. He's good.
Yeah. Dude, I just love these type of unicorns, like fucking O'Neal Cruz, that just hit like – that throw like 95 across the diamond and just hit like 110 exit velo. Like, those dudes are insane. What is crazy about you is, dude, they have your arm at 55 and you're running at 60. So they – I know you don't look at that shit, but they've actually compared you to like Alex Bregman. Is that one guy you compare your game to, you would say, in the show, or you don't compare yourself to anyone?
I don't compare myself to anyone. I mean, obviously, he's a really good player, but like, I'm not going to compare myself and like try and play like him. But like, I do like the way that he plays.
It's a good, I mean, it's a good guy to maul your game after. That yeah, is crazy.
People don't like my arm. I feel like I got a better arm than that. Like, I don't care what they say, but like,
just start posting. See, the thing is, you got to start posting more Instas. Like,
no, they love, like, that goes into it. Like, people who post shit like that, they like, like, I don't know how that has something to do with it, but I feel like there is some correlation.
There's no shot. There's no, like, you think the guys that like are posting pictures, like the prospects with like tight shirts and you could see their arms ripped through their fucking shirt, that the scouts are like,
no, I'm not saying that, but like, you know, like maybe not as much in the minors, but for sure in like high school and stuff, like the guys were posting like their homers and shit, like, or like tight shirts and stuff like that. There for sure is.
Yeah, there might be. I can respect that, but it's all time, man. I was fired up to get you on, cause like I said, follower of the pod, one of the first guy you followed, whatever, humble brag, followed us first. But you're our guy now. So, like I said, I'm a Matt McLean stan for life now. Hashtag Matt Gang. You just love to see it. But I do appreciate you coming on this, man. I appreciate it. You're electric, legendary guy. And like I said, I will be at that debut. You mark it down in your fucking calendar. I will be at that debut. And actually, you have to let us know before the press. I need like maybe a text or an Insta with like the eye emoji. Like, we did it. Johnny, okay. We did it.
Okay.
Thanks for hopping on this, brother.
Yeah, bro. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.